Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. Our text that we are examining at the moment is at 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. And to summarize it, it is to tell us of the Christian's responsibility to abide in the apostolic gospel. Verse 24 says, "Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father." And then verse 25 says, "And this is the promise, that he has promised to us eternal life." And so what we have is, first of all, an exhortation, second, an encouragement, and third, a promise. The exhortation we examined on the broadcast yesterday, but I repeat the first part of verse 24 that contains the exhortation. "Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning." This is an exhortation. There is a clear connection, as you recall, to the previous verse that says, "Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore," on the basis of that statement, that sobering statement, "therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning." The requirement to abide in apostolic doctrine, to remain in it, to live in it, to be at home in the apostolic gospel. Some profess to believe it, and then they walked away from it. He's told us about them in the verses previous to this one. And so he says, "As for you, you be sure that this message remains in you." And the Spirit of God, through the Apostle John, tells us that that is our responsibility as professing Christians. We are responsible to hold on to the doctrine, hold on to the truth, hold on to the gospel that we have professed to believe. But there is encouragement that follows the exhortation, and we shall examine that in a moment. But first, let me stop and welcome you to this Wednesday, May 2 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And secondly, let me remind you that we do depend very heavily upon the gifts of our radio listeners in order to be able to continue this ministry on this radio station. Well, what is the encouragement? If the command or the exhortation is, "Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning," what is the encouragement? And it is this: if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. There is a condition stated, and there is a result proclaimed. The condition is indicated by that word "if." If what you heard from the beginning abides in you. If. This is important. This is of critical importance. This indicates a contingency. It indicates that it is possible that the apostolic gospel might not continue to abide in you. Simply by stating this, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then the opposite is implied. It is possible that you could profess to know the apostolic gospel at a point in your life and then walk away from it. Some have done that. We've already learned about those. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. So John is telling us that it is possible to become a defector from the Christian faith. It is possible to drift away and continue drifting away and not return, as others have done. If you do not abide, you will not receive the promise of eternal life that is given to those who abide. It is placing faith in Jesus Christ, saving faith in Jesus Christ, is not a one-time historical event. It is an ongoing, continuous event. In other words, true Christians have believed, but true Christians are still believing, and true Christians will continue to believe, and therefore the exhortation, make certain that you abide in that which you heard from the beginning. If you do, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And so the condition indicated by that word if you abide, these things will be true of you. If you abide, this is the result that will follow. And it is this effect that you will remain in the apostolic gospel. You will live in the Son and the Father. And there is reward. The reward for remaining faithful to apostolic doctrine is rich fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And there is assurance. If you remain in the apostolic gospel, you will never be severed from your relationship with God. But there is an implied warning. If you depart from apostolic doctrine and are not brought back by the Spirit of God to your former profession, your former faith in the apostolic gospel, then you are not abiding in the Son and in the Father, and you will not experience the promise of eternal life. So there is both encouragement and warning. The encouragement is stated, but the warning is implied. Again, verse 24, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. That's the encouragement. That's the encouragement. That's why we pray, keep me, Lord, O keep me cleaving to thyself and still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys with thee. Because true saving faith is persevering faith, and we persevere in the faith, and we are kept in the faith. And both of those doctrines are true, and they appear to be contradictory to some. Which is it? Is it that we persevere in the faith, or is it that God the Holy Spirit keeps us persevering in the faith? And the answer is, it is both. That may seem mysterious, that is mysterious, and that may seem contradictory, but the truth of the matter is that God the Holy Spirit so works in us that we persevere. He is keeping us persevering, but he does it in such a way that there is effort, there is intentionality, there is activity, required activity on our part. And no doubt the Holy Spirit of God has designed it that way so that we will not become careless, so that we will not drift. Some will say, but I believe in the doctrine of eternal security. I believe once saved, always saved, and I have been saved, and therefore I will remain saved. I will not lose my salvation. I will come safely home to heaven, so I don't have anything to worry about up you were doing pretty well until you came to that last statement. Because here's the reason why you have something to worry about. That's probably not the best terminology, but you have something to be concerned about. You have something to understand your responsibility concerning, and that is, it is your responsibility to keep believing, to keep pursuing Christ, to keep repenting of your sins, to keep following hard after God, because there are those who have gone before you who made the same profession that you make, and yet they dropped by the wayside. They are no longer followers of Jesus Christ. How do you know that that won't happen to you? Well, because I believe in eternal security. So did they. How do you know that it won't happen to you? Well, because I believe a true believer can never be lost. That is correct. But how can you be sure that your profession of faith is a genuine one as opposed to a false one? There's apparently turned out to be counterfeit. But they didn't know that until they stopped believing. They stopped abiding in Christ. That's when they found out that their faith was counterfeit. Up until that time, they probably didn't know. Right now, you are certain that your faith is genuine, and based upon the doctrine of eternal security, you are confident that you will continue until the end, right? But that doesn't allow you to coast. That doesn't allow you to drift. The responsibility is that you must continue pursuing hard after Christ until you make it safely home. Is that contradictory? Not really. It might seem like it on a superficial examination, but not really. What the Scripture teaches us, and this is a helpful paradox to be sure, but what the Scripture teaches us about perseverance is that only those who persevere will be saved. That's why the Bible says, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." Some Christians cannot figure out where to put that verse. It doesn't fit any category of their theology, which is an indication that there's something wrong with their theology. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, those who do not believe in eternal security, they have no trouble with that text. That fits their doctrine perfectly, though their doctrine is wrong. But they say, yep, see there? It's possible to lose your salvation. If you don't endure to the end, then you will not be saved. Well, they're correct that if you don't endure to the end, you will not be saved, but they are incorrect in thinking it's possible to lose your salvation. That's not what that text is teaching. That text is teaching that those who have genuine faith as opposed to counterfeit faith, those who have the possession of salvation as opposed to those who simply profess faith in Christ. In other words, persevering to the end is a mark of genuine conversion. It is an evidence of genuine conversion. It's not that we must do this in order to keep ourselves saved. That's not what I'm saying. But it is that if we don't continue, we are going to manifest that we never were truly saved. And therefore, there is some holy concern here that I must continue to pursue Christ so that I may make it safely home. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.